Hey, just left the store. I will be there shortly. Got something for you and the baby. So I will see you in a little bit. Yeah, put the beers in the freezer. And we'll have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on, I'm a little flat.
Really? Was it worth it? No, he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome. You're having a great show today. Appreciate you joining us. That's right. Oh, there's a lot to talk about. So, one of the things we're going to talk about is Drea Michelle. That is who we want to talk about. And if you don't know who she is, I will tell you. If you remember the show Basketball Wise, she was on there. Basketball Wise LA. She was on there. And people say, like, for a white girl, you got the ditzy blonde. She's basically what I would say is the black version back then is the black version of a ditzy blonde. But now, so her situation is she is pregnant by a 21-year-old. Yes, she is pregnant by a 21-year-old NBA player named Jalen Green. Now, I know you're probably saying to yourself, okay, he's 21. How old is she? Well, y'all, she is 39. What? She is 39, he's 21. He just made 22. So he's not 21 no more, he just made 22. And so he was like, oh, that's a big age gap. But he is grown. So being that he is grown, you know, and that he's grown, she could do what she want to do. He could do what he want to do. And then they feel like it's a double standard because older men do it, the younger women. Older men do it with younger women. And it's like, well, but the crazy thing is her son's the same age as the dude she's having the baby by. Let's just say they're dating. They're not dating, but let's just say they were dating and he decided he wants to marry her. How is your 21-year-old going to be calling this same dude, the same age as him, going to call him? My, say that's my stepdad. Huh? What do you think of... Now, I will never date anyone that's close to my dad's age. And before he passed, he was, what, 61? And then I said, I would never go as young as my nephew's age And then my nephew at that time was like still in kind of like his late teens, early 20s. So no, me as a grown woman, no, I wouldn't do that. But she felt the need, because when they said, oh, she's pregnant, she was denying it at first, because they found out who she was dating. So she denied it at first, and then she finally came out and said she is. And she took, you know, had the pregnancy photo shoot that every pregnant mother has. You know, it's crazy. It's okay if you want to have a fling. Like you need to get some, you call him over and he give you some. That's okay. But to get pregnant? Nah, that's crazy. To get pregnant? Nah, that's crazy. I wouldn't even do it to myself. So, because they were, a lot of people, like online media, were talking about it. And you have to think, like, because she's 39 now. I think the baby will be a teenager by the time she's, like, in her 60s. He'll still be kind of young. Yeah, it's crazy. So, you wanted to get the show started quickly. Sorry for the little lateness on the show, but we're here. We're going to keep going. So, what's up, Six? Want to get it going? So, you don't know. I know you don't know who Dre and Michelle is because you don't watch reality TV. But what do you think of the situation of a woman, age 39, and a young man who is 21, being together, one, and what are you thinking about them having a baby? What is your response to those two questions? One, the age difference, and two, them having a baby together. What do you think about that situation? Six, you there? So, while we wait for Six to give us his answer, and I just, something like a notification from YouTube popped up on my phone, and it says Drake is in the same situation where he's dating a 21-year-old. And I bet you no one's, because I ain't hear nothing about Drake dating a 21-year-old. Everybody's talking about Dre and Michelle.
Excuse me. Hey, I'm here. Heartthrob from the 80s. Hey, what's up, bro? I'm here. I'm at Sneaky Sam's. They got the popcorn extravaganza. So it's like the popcorn festival. So I'm here. How y'all doing?
So my question to you is, what is your opinion on an older woman who's 39 being with a 21-year-old, but now he's not 21 anymore, he's 22. And the second question is, what do you think about them having a baby together?
Well, long as they're responsible and take care of the baby, it's okay, because when the guy do it, don't nobody say nothing. So, hey.
So you're okay with a 39-year-old woman messing with a 21-year-old, well, at the time when they first started, he was 21, the same age as her son. Let's go back to when you were 21. What would your mother say if you were in this situation? What would your parents say if you were in this situation?
So when I was 21, some of my mother friends liked me. You know, my mother had some friends that were like 30. You know how they have like their you know, that so they're like sick to their daughters like 30. So I mean, it happens. I mean, he just got him a cougar. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
What's that wrong with it?
So now listen to this. So, you know, being that this story came out, Whoopi Goldberg gave her opinion and said she dated a man who was 40. Well, she said he was, well, she dated a man who was years older than her.
How many?
I think she said 14 years older than her.
Okay.
But this is grown Whoopi dating an older man. This is not 21-year-old Whoopi. This is grown Whoopi. So, like, she was, I guess, either in her 50s or 60s, and he was, like, in his 90s or close to 100.
Oh, damn.
And everybody will be okay with that, right? People will be okay with that.
I mean, he's going to be checking out soon, 90 years old.
Right, but I'm just saying, people are going to be okay with that. But when it's the other way around, where the person is younger, and, you know, like you both said, it's been happening for a long time where older men get with younger women. And younger men go after older women. And they would say, oh, she was on Basketball Wives, so he probably watched it with his mother and saw her and was interested in her then and finally got a chance to meet her. And, you know, they hit it off. For me, like I just said, I would never date a guy who's young enough to be my nephew or date a guy who's old enough to be my father. It's not a creep me out type of thing, but it is kind of in that, like, one, I have nothing in common with the person who's younger. Two, I don't really have nothing in common with the person who's older, unless we like some of the same things. Unless we like some of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So
what
you
if
know.
He likes cooking? What if he likes cooking and basketball? Then what?
Okay, that's fine. But I'm not into basketball like that. I do like basketball, but my top sport is football. So.
Okay. Well, if you like football and cooking.
Then that's fine. That's fine. But still,
I mean, you
know,
went to school to be a chef.
That's the only two things we have in common. It's not going to work. If you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, so what if he had five things in common you like?
And when you think, still in all, if this man has children that are the same age as me, and we, okay, like you said, hold on. Like you said, we hit it off, right? And let's say this man has children the same age as me. How do you think his kid's going to feel if we decided, oh, we're going to get married? Their kid is not calling me their stepmother, and we're the same age. They're not doing it. His kids is not doing it if we're the same age.
Yeah, you might have a problem with that.
Right. That's why I'm saying, that's why I asked you the question, if you was in his, if you was the young guy's age, what would your parents say in this situation? They wouldn't go for it.
Oh, no.
You know your mother wouldn't go for it.
No.
She's going to be like all mothers, what is your intention with my son? And why are you going after my young son? What do y'all have in common that I would be okay? What do y'all have in common for this relationship to be a thing? What's she going to say? The older woman's going to say, I like music. Your son is into music and all this. Okay. Your mother's going to say, I like music too. So what else you got?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It ain't a, even though we may like some of the same things, on an intellectual level, what do we have in common? Because I may, you
Mr.
know,
Heart
at
drop
the age
from the
80s, I am, a... right? And
yeah.
At the age I am and at the age you are, we are going to say things that a 21-year-old is going to be like, huh? You can't tell me when you're around your nieces and your nephews that you say something and they look at you crazy because they don't understand what you're saying.
Right.
So,
what is
so,
this heartthrob from the 80s? And,
well,
you know, when
so
I was, when
just
I was
imagine,
on the rock and roller.
So,
can I speak? Hello? Heartthrob from the 80s.
Finish. So, I'm going to understand.
Hello? Well, this is a heartthrob from the 80s. And when I was on stage, I mean, all the women were crazy after me, tearing my shirt off, taking my shoes. So I get it. I get it. Heartthrob from the 80s here on the Six Eyes Radio Network and Road Radio.
Bro, what are you doing? What are you doing, dude?
Well, I'm here live at Sneaky Sam's. We have the Popcorn Extravaganza. So I just want to thank them for the popcorn and the drink. Thank you. I don't know where Road went.
My bad, y'all. My bad, y'all. I hit the mute button by accident, so if you didn't hear me, my bad.
To start your show now, press 1. To hear important instructions,
well, guess what? We didn't hear you.
So I said we're going to take a musical break, and we come back from this musical break. We're going
to
talk about some more stuff. So here we go.
Look what the wind just blew in again, whistling through the cracks in my door. I should have known you would show up when the cuts were not hurting no more. Welcome back, baby. Sit on down.
Yeah. Heartthrob from the 80s. Love it. Love it.
Hey, hope you like that vintage shuffle
yeah.
song.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Remind me when I was on stage singing.
When you was on stage?
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
In the 80s.
In the 80s?
Heartthrob from the 80s. You probably were about 6 years old when I was singing. Probably about six years old, maybe 10 at the most. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about Dre and Michelle. And as I stated
yeah.
earlier, I see Drake pop up. But he's dating a 21-year-old. And I don't know how old Drake is, but I think Drake is in his 30s. So it's not too bad because he's in his early 30s. I don't think he's in his late 30s. I think he's in his early 30s. So that's not too bad.
Hell, how old is that dude Drake? How old is that rapper Drake? Alexa, how old is that rapper Aubrey Day, Drake? God damn.
37
years old.
You have a new notification. You want to hear it?
No. He's 37.
Oh, so he is in his late 30s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's only 2 years behind Drea, so... But see, this is what I'm trying to understand, right? This is what I'm trying to understand. Okay, you see the person, because you know young people hang
yeah.
out at clubs. You know, older people
yeah.
go to the bar. Young people hang out at clubs. So
to
you're
the
in
bar.
The club, and okay, you're in
uh-huh.
the club, and the young girl crosses your path. Look at her, you pull her to the
yeah.
side, you talk to her. When she tells you her age, so I want to say this to you six. Now, the scenario
yeah.
I just gave, you're in the club, this 21-year-old walks past you, she catches your eye, you pull her to the side, you talk to her. When she tells you she's 21, what is your reaction?
Oh, look, we can sit, have a conversation. I'll buy her a drink, get her some wings and fries. But that's about it. I mean, I'm old enough to be her father. But I'll buy her a drink and some wings and fries.
And that's what I was saying in my situation, that I would never date anyone who's old enough to be my dad. Because there's nothing, even though I've had conversations with my dad, me and my dad, our musical tastes are in common. Some of our TV shows are in common. But on an intellectual level, what do we have in common? And that's what people got to get in their head. On an intellectual, just because you've got sports in common, TV shows and all that, that don't mean jack. On an intellectual level, what do we have in common? Because there are words when, you know, hanging around your grandparents or your parents,
yeah.
there are phrases
yeah.
and words that they say that you look at them and be like, what?
Night and day. What are you
right.
talking about? Yeah.
And then when you go look it up, you're like, oh, that's what that means. That's just their slang. Like, every generation has their own slang words. And
yeah.
when you're with a young person, if they don't know your slang word, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about? You understand what I'm saying? They're going to look at you crazy like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so the sayings I've been hearing is that part, say less. Well, if you say less, you're not saying much. So I don't get that part, because if you're talking, I don't understand that one. And
okay,
that
so
part,
that's a slang
right?
word.
That,
that is a slang word the younger generation uses now. It says say less, meaning I understand. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anymore. I get it. I'm on the same.
Well, why don't you just say I understand?
Because this is how they talk. That's why I'm saying on it. That's why I said, what do they have in common on an intellectual level when even the slang words are not the same?
Oh, my God. All right.
Right?
Right. I don't know.
Right. So you know the election is coming up.
Yeah.
And you know our two candidates are going to have to choose from is Trump and Biden. I'm not telling people who
yes.
to vote for, but I'm just telling the people to go vote.
Correct.
If your state has early voting, go early. Go vote early if you can. I get it. If you can't, I get. You know, and for those who live in a building with a lot of senior citizens, drive them to the polls so they can go vote. Take them to the polls so they can go vote. You know, some of them can't get around as much. So take them to the polls so they can go vote. Because, you know, one, if they don't vote, it counts for the other candidate they don't want in office. So if it's Trump, that vote will count. That non-vote will count for getting Trump in office. If it's Biden, that non-vote will help get Biden in office. But, you know, if you are around a lot of senior citizens, you know, go help them so they can vote. Make sure they have their ID so they can go vote, because they're putting a lot of restrictions on people to vote to stop them from voting. And so, in politic news, Republicans had a meeting to talk about Biden and the files he had at his home in his garage. Yes, Republicans had a meeting to talk about Biden and the files he had in his garage, that when they found out he had the files, he gave them up right away. But when Trump did it, you know, Trump had them hidden everywhere in his house at Mar-a-Lago, that the FBI had to raid his house in order to get those files. But they want to have a meeting about Biden holding files, but they never had one when Trump was holding files. How crazy is that? How crazy is that?
And that is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy that and remember when Biden's son, they had a secret meeting about Biden's son, because they're trying to do anything to impeach Biden. But when everything that happened with Hunter was when Biden wasn't even in office at the time, everything happened with Hunter. But they do anything
uh-huh.
to get this man out of office. Yep, they do anything. Yeah. That's crazy.
Now, Road, what kind of phone do you have?
I have an iPhone Y.
iPhone. You have an iPhone, all right. Now, how many gigabytes, I think they call, how many gigabytes do you have?
You mean megabytes?
Gigabytes.
No, megabytes.
Phones
gigabytes.
Are calculated in gigabytes.
It starts off with megabytes, and then it goes, the higher the number, it changes. So I have 32 megabytes of space on my phone. Now,
how many gigabytes do you
have? You just heard what I said. I have 32.
It's not megabytes, damn it, it's gigabytes.
It is. Oh, boy.
Heartthrob from the 80s. I've had many cell phones. So you have 32 gigabytes. You know why? Because I have an iPhone and I have 16 gigs. 16 gigabytes.
Oh, you don't have a lot of space.
Well, you do. You want to trade phones?
No, I don't have a lot of space. Most of my space is taken up.
You got a hell of a lot more space than I got.
You can next time you upgrade your phone, tell them to give you 32 and not 16. Or if you can afford 64, you get 64.
They told me that was a lot of space. They told me that that was a lot of space.
Yeah,
and you'll never use up 16.
But
gigs.
You have to understand.
Right. God damn
16
it!
16 is a lot of space if you don't. If you don't. Put a lot of apps on your phone. Because with 16 gigs, you can fill it up quickly just by putting games on your phone.
They told me I had a lot of space.
Who told you? The people at the phone store?
Yeah.
Well,
do you want what I'll do? I'll give you an autograph. You want to trade phones? I'll give you an autograph.
No.
No.
No, I do not want to trade phones.
Why?
So, let's get into some sports news.
God damn it.
And this is 2024, I would say, is the year of the
Saints. How you going to do them like that? How you just going to say, no, you're not going to trade phones with them? That's the heartthrob from the 80s. And you
know what? So,
wow.
In sports news, this is 2024 is the year of the trade. So, for those of you who are football fans, you know Russell Wilson was playing for the Broncos. Well, the Broncos let him go, and now he's got a one-year contract with the Steelers. He has a one-year contract, and if you remember the story that came out, and they said that the Broncos was at an $85 million cap. Well, they had to pay him $85
million. 85 what?
Russell Wilson, after being let go from the Broncos, they had to pay him $85
million. I was about to say, you said $85 billion at first.
No, I did not. I said million.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not say
yes,
billion.
Yeah, you did.
Billion.
I heard you.
So.
Yeah, you did say $85 billion.
No, I did not. I know what I said.
You did say $85 billion.
I said.
You said 85 billion.
No, I did not. I'm not going to argue back
God
and forth.
Damn it.
I'm not going to do it. But
well, play it back and you'll see. Play it back and you'll see.
So, and being, and as I said, this is the year of the trades. If you are a Giants fan, I know you are pissed off because Saquon Barkley is no longer a Giant. He's now signed, I think, a 5-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yep. He has signed a 5-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right.
And if you know who Deontay Johnson is, he's been traded to the Panthers. He's going to the Carolina Panthers. And a lot of these players are free agents. So being that they're free agents, they can sign again, right? They can sign again with their team, right? Or they can ask to be traded to another team. And a lot of them, I guess, decided, I want to be traded. So we got Saquon. We got Russell Wilson. We got Deontay Johnson. Kirk Cousins. He signed a deal with the Falcons. The Falcons offered him $1.something million to sign with the Falcons. Do you hear me? Because like I said, this is the year of the trades. There's been many trades, and they get paid one. Here we go. Here's an article on it. It's coming from USA Today. It says NFL free agency trades grades for Saquon Barkley, Kirk Cousins, Joe Mixon, and more. It says the 2-day legal tampering period of the 2024 NFL season is a full swing with many high-profile free agents agreeing to big deals to change teams. Hundreds of billions of dollars in guarantees have been given out since noon Monday, with multiple NFL teams getting key upgrades at specific positions. So some of the signings stand out for their price, impact, or both. Here are grades for some of the biggest moves, the contract information provided by Over the Cap. So we got Kirk Cousins. He's a quarterback. He's going to the Atlanta. His contract is for 4 years at $180 million. Right? 4 years to play with the Atlanta Falcons at $180 million. And his guarantee is the $100 million. Right? And then you got Chris Jones, defensive line. He played for the defensive line for Kansas City Chiefs. Says 5 years for $150.75 million. His guaranteed money is $95 million. It says Christian Wilkins, defensive tight end. His contract.
God damn it, read the story.
His contract is for 4 years. At $110 million, his guaranteed money is $82.75 million. Saquon Barkley, he signed a 3-year deal with the Eagles, and his contract was for $37.75 million. His guaranteed money is $26
million. Yeah, you just said it again. You just said billion again.
No, I did not. I said million.
You did. You said billion.
No, I did not. Then we got Josh Jacobs, who's a running back. He's going to the Green Bay Packers. His contract is for $48 million. $48 million. And he's guaranteed $12.5 million. Patrick Queen, who's a linebacker, he's going to the Steelers.
I thought Patrick Swayze was an actor.
His name is Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen, not Swayze. His contract is for 3 years with the Steelers for $41 million. His guaranteed money is $13.884 million. Derrick Henry, who's a running back, he's going to the Baltimore Ravens. He has a 2-year contract for $16 million. His guaranteed money is $9 million. Xavier McKinney, he's going to the Green Bay Packers. He has a 4-year contract with them for $68 million, and he has a guaranteed money of $25
million. Wow.
It says Brian Burns, offensive linebacker, he's going from the Panthers to the Giants. It doesn't say what his guaranteed money amount is. Oh, it's a 5-year contract for $141 million. His guaranteed money is $87.5 million. And that's a 5-year contract.
Wow.
Joe Mixon, who's a running back, he's leaving the Bengals, the Cincinnati Bengals, to go to Houston Texans. His guarantee, his money is, his money amount is, I don't see where his money amount is.
That's because he owed child support.
Yeah, I don't see his money amount.
It says $22, guaranteed $22.
But all these players, their guaranteed money is in the millions, right? And when you think about how much these professional athletes get paid, and then you think about teachers, like people with jobs more, I say more meaningful jobs like teachers, and they don't get as paid as much.
Well, the downside of that is, you know, with all the great educators and teachers, and shout out to the women, you know, y'all doing great things. And shout out to all the women doing great things around the world from the Six Hours Radio Network and Road to Stardom Network. Thanks. But here's the thing, Rode, since the beginning of the time, teachers have been overlooked. But the reason they pay the sport people so much is because they put their bodies on the line to go out there to entertain us. But at the end of the day, you take pro wrestlers, and you take football players. They endure the most of the abuse, all the boxers getting hit in the head, the football players getting tackled into the damn stands, and all the hits that they take. And then once they retire, they can't enjoy their money because they all broke up and beat up. You know, that's why Will Smith made that movie Concussion about the CTE. And that's when they examine the brain after a football player has passed away,
Lyle Lozado had CTE. And if you remember him, he committed suicide. He committed suicide because he couldn't take it. They said CTE is like having a zoo of elephants and rhinos standing on your head at one time. And it's a lot of pain. Okay. Are we at a club or what's going on?
No. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I'm like, okay, it's not worth it. You know, because when you retire, you're not going to be able to enjoy it. But they should pay teachers a whole lot more than what they pay, because those teachers are teachers, they're mentors, they're mothers, you know, fathers in some instances where there's no parents in the home, or if it's a broken home, they wear many hats, you know. And the teachers should be celebrated and paid a whole lot more than what they're paid for. To deal with these kids, they should get paid a whole lot more what they got to put up with.
Yeah. So, in more sports news, guess who's coming back to boxing? For an exhibition fight.
Coming back to where?
Boxing for an exhibition fight.
Who? Mike Tyson?
Bingo. Guess who he's fighting?
I know it ain't, I know it's not Floyd Mayweather. I know it ain't him.
Nope.
George Foreman?
No. It's an exhibition fight. I'll let you have one more guess, and then I'll tell you.
The Rick?
No. So, this is an exhibition fight. Mike Tyson will be fighting Jake Paul. If you don't know who Jake Paul is, Jake Paul is a YouTuber who made all his money off of him and his brother, his brother's Logan Paul. They both made money off of doing YouTube. That's how we know about them, because they became big off of doing YouTube. Right? So they're doing an exhibition fight. And I think it's happening in July sometime. But listen to these rules in this exhibition fight. So Jake Paul is allowed to wear a helmet. So you know when amateurs box, you know they wear that helmet. Well, Jake Paul will be allowed to wear the helmet. Mike Tyson will not be able to wear the helmet. Jake Paul can tag team his brother in the fight. The person, I saw a TikTok video, and the person was saying the rules for the fight between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, and they were saying that Jake Paul can tag his brother in the fight. Jake Paul can be any weight he wants. Mike Tyson has to be at a certain weight in order for the fight to happen.
Come on, that's ludicrous. Come on.
So let's just say,
I know.
If Jake Paul is at 125, that Mike Tyson has to meet whatever weight Jake Paul is, Mike Tyson has to meet that weight in order to fight him.
Ain't no way Mike Tyson is down to 125 pounds.
I'm just saying, whatever weight Jake Paul is, I'm not saying he's 125, but I'm just saying, when you think about a boxer, and, you know, they go by, if you're fighting a boxer, and they say that boxer's at 168, you have to be in the same weight. You have to be the same weight as them, or you can't fight. But they saying Jake Paul can be at any weight he wants to, meaning that Jake Paul could be 250, but Mike has to stay at a certain weight. What kind of crap is that?
Uh-huh.
He's allowed to be 168, but they say, well, Mike got to stay at 160. Like, they putting limits on, like, they putting limits on, well, Mike is a professional boxer, but this is an exhibition fight. It's not even basically a real fight.
Come on, Six Eyes, come on, it's crazy. I know it is, Mike. I know, I'm going to call you after the show.
And
come
I think
on.
That what the problem is, but he's thinking he's wanting to fight Mike Tyson because he thinks Mike ain't been in the ring in a long time that he'd be able to take him. If you Google Mike Tyson training, you're going to see recent videos of Mike Tyson training in the ring. Mike Tyson has never left has never lost the skill of boxing since he left boxing. Mike Tyson trains. That's how he exercises. He boxes. He has a sparrer. Mike Tyson hasn't stopped boxing since he left. Even though he may not be.
I hate to be his damn sparring partner.
Even though he's not the age he is, he still hasn't stopped. Mike Tyson will. I think one good punch by Mike could kill Jake Paul. That's how good Mike still got it. That one good hit that he can, one good hit and Mike Tyson's knocking the hell out of Jake Paul. So you know it's an exhibition fight. So you know they are, you know it's going to be on pay-per-view and you know they're going to get people. But just think about it. Mike Tyson probably agreed to it because, you know, he probably needed the money. Just think about it. You need some money. Why not do an exhibition fight with a former boxer to make some good money out of it? And they're probably making about in the millions to have this exhibition fight. Yep, that's crazy. But the rules, though.
Yeah.
Nah, if I was a boxer, I'd have been like, nope, we're going to go how the rules supposed to go. If we got to be in the same weight class for us to box, then we're going to be in the same weight class for us to box. Ain't no leniency. If I ain't got to wear a helmet, he ain't got to wear a helmet. You see, they making him wear a helmet because they know how good Mike Tyson is. One good blow. I don't know if Jake Paul's trying to be a professional boxer or not, and this is his way of moving up the ranks of trying to be, to get into that professional boxing area. Because they show tapes of him training, and he's not bad either, but you're going up against Mike Tyson. Will Smith did a song, I Could Beat Mike Tyson, and he can't beat Mike Tyson. So we shall see when July comes.
So I got some crazy, bizarre story. In Ohio. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a elderly man in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The caretaker were around your age, maybe a little bit younger. And she always brought her friend with her to, like, sit with her while she watched this elderly man.
Mm-hmm.
So she came to the house. She came to the house. Unfortunately, the elderly man had expired. So they get the man into the car. They prop him up in the car. The main caregiver is driving the car. The elderly woman, the elderly man is in the passenger seat, and the friend that goes to work with her is on the passenger side, kind of bracing the man so he won't fall over. They proceed to go to the bank, take out money. The damn tellers are saying hello. Hey, Mr. Such and Such, Such and Such. Oh, you're knocked out. You're asleep. Well, we'll catch you next time you come. Maybe you'll be woke. So they had no idea the man was dead. They proceed to go into the store, shop, and come back out to this deceased man still in the car. That's a crazy story of Ohio. If you have any crazy stories, email Road to Stardom. And what's your email address, Road?
It's Road to Stardom 2010@gmail.com. But I doubt if anybody has it. So you're telling me these two people killed this man and they propped him up in the car?
Well, they don't know. They didn't say they killed him, but she said she came to the house and the man was dead. They proceeded to take his wallet, prop him up in the car, drive to the bank. The bank teller's thinking he's just asleep. Oh, well, we'll see you next time you come. Maybe you'll be woke. And they didn't realize he was dead. So that's a crazy story right there. And I think they only got like $900.
Mm-mm-mm.
Really? Was it worth it? No, it wasn't.
I don't understand.
So that's a crazy story. That's a crazy story in Ohio. And then last night, I forget what city it was, but this lady had a problem with her mother. I guess she was treated bad. The girl is outside, naked, walking around. She kills her mother, stabs her in the heart, and cut half of her heart out. This is why we got to check in with our mental health. This world is crazy.
Yep.
So those are the crazy, bizarre stories right there. Now, what do you think about that?
Why? I get it. You have issues with your parents. But to go that far to kill them?
That's sick. And I wish my parents were still here. That just angers me. That angers me right there.
It angers me too, but you want to know something? So you know, when they, you know, if the mother had a will or anything, you've seen the TV shows when the rich family, they don't take care of their family member, and then it comes time to read the will, and they're no longer in the will. Watch.
And they get a dollar? Yeah.
They're going to read the will. And her name is not going to be mentioned in the will.
Uh-huh.
You remember Leona Helmsley?
Yeah.
Remember when she was a slumlord? But when she passed away, I think she left everything to her dog.
Uh-huh.
And so,
yeah,
whoever's taking care of the dog, they get her money. But they have to keep taking care of the dog in order to get her money. So, yeah.
Okay.
This is crazy. I mean, we as children, we do get mad at our parents sometimes, but not to the point where we be like, I'm going to kill my mom. I'm going to kill my dad. No. Yeah. If for you parents out there, if your kid starts acting different, I think you're going to need to get them evaluated. If your kid was one way and then all of a sudden they start acting different, get them evaluated. Get their mental checked. Because something's going on they're not telling you, and I would hate for you and your child to get into an argument and your child decides to want to kill you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it's a little crazy right there.
Yeah, very crazy.
Yeah, and switching gears, have you seen this video of LeBron James going around?
Okay, so we're back into sports news, and I'm going to explain it. So, during the Lakers game, LeBron was sitting on the bench, and he was talking to the owner of the team and another lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so people saw that and created a meme of him with two white women. Because, you know, when LeBron doesn't conversate with any women at the game. Because, you know, they have court-side seats, so people that have court, he don't conversate with anybody at the game. Men, yes. Women, no. Because he doesn't want it to perceive like he's trying to holler at somebody. But the way he was conversing with the owner of the team and another lady, they made a meme about it, talked about it, and now it's become a thing when it's not really a thing. Because nobody, I don't think people knew who the lady was, so they made it a thing when it's really not a thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was Jeannie Buss. Her dad is the owner of the Lakers. He passed away, so the team went, so because when he passed, she inherited the team. Yep. When the dad passed, she inherited, and that's who he was talking to. Because his wife be at the game, and I think somebody said, like, they panned to his wife, and she had, like, that look on her face, like, we're going to have a conversation when you get home. Yep.
Wow.
He was just having a conversation with the owner of the team and another lady of somebody, the wife of somebody who works for the organization. That's all he was doing, having small talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was having small
talk. And they made
talk.
It something that what they made it out to be something that wasn't. Wow.
They're trying to make something
That's
out
crazy.
Of nothing. That's basically what they're trying to do, make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you had a chance to see the documentary Where is Wendy?
Now, what was that?
Where is Wendy? It's a documentary on Wendy Williams.
Wendy. So that came out earlier. That came out last month. Like, and they did the documentary to show everybody, like, what's going on with Wendy, because her family's not been able to talk to her. If you remember, Wendy came out and said Wells Fargo got her money. She can't get into her account. And so they froze her account. And when they did that, they put her under conservatorship, like how Britney Spears was. But the person under who is her trying to think. Like the person who's handling
power of attorney. Power of attorney.
Really power of attorney. Well, I guess you could say power of attorney, but it was her son, but then they said, oh, her son can't be over it. They made some lie about her son, and they took him off and gave her this woman named Sabrina to be basically, like you said, her power of attorney. And ever since then, she hasn't been in contact with her family, because when she was with her family, she was doing much better. When she was away from her family, she's been drinking, because they said, oh, she has Alzheimer's and aphasia, the same thing that Bruce Willis has. But her Alzheimer's is alcohol-induced, because they're letting her drink. Her Alzheimer's is alcohol-induced because they're letting her drink when she shouldn't be, because all the medical issues she has to take, you know, and she has to take medicine. And you can't mix that with alcohol. Because I think when my mom was taking medicine and it was like, the doctor said she can have wine. Like, if she wanted to drink, she could, but she can have, like, wine. But I was like, my mother don't drink. Like, she did drink, and her choice of alcohol was amaretto. That was her favorite thing to drink. But, you know, once, you know, she had to take all this medicine, she couldn't drink. And the same thing with Wendy, you know, gotta take this medicine. You can't be drinking, taking this medicine. The documentary was on Lifetime, and, you know, people were saying, you know, like they put this out to show Wendy in a bad light, but it's not. But Wendy was the one who wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
And who was in there? Black China was in there. She went to visit Wendy, and they had a conversation. They recorded that. Yeah, so. Because this was supposed to be like Wendy's comeback. Like, because she was supposed to come back, but doing a podcast, not back to TV, but she was going to come back and do a podcast. Because if you type in her name on YouTube, you would see a show Wendy did, and she only did a few episodes, and it's her riding around in the car. And the celebrity, and she would pick up the celebrity who she was having a conversation with, and they would ride around in the car and they would have a conversation. She had Mario. Mario was one of the guests. I forgot who else. Mario and a few other, you know. A few other celebs that liked her did it, and that was supposed to be her comeback, but I think she only did like 4 or 5 episodes, and that was it. Because I think that's when her health started taking a toll on her.
Uh-huh.
and everything was happening.
Yeah, well, definitely, America, just keep her in your prayers. From the 6 Eyes Radio Network, Road to Stardom Network, keep Wendy Williams in your prayers. You know, a lot of people are ignorant. You know, Alzheimer's can strike any one of us. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't got nothing to do with karma. Health ain't got nothing to do with karma. You know, she shouldn't drink as much as she is drinking, you know, but at the same time, just pray for the lady. You know, it's so easy to you know, kick a person while they're down. If you ain't going to help her up, don't say nothing. Just pray for her. So we wish her the best from the 6 Eyes Radio Network and Road to Stardom Network. You're enjoying Sticks and Road every Tuesday, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Sticks and Road.
So you know it's trivia time.
Let's
got
go.
It in
Let's
you?
Go. Let's go. Bring it.
So the last time Six did the trivia, he was He was 3 for 5 or 3 for 5.
I didn't get none last 0 for 5.
Last week he didn't get any. The week before, he was 3 for 5. But
not
let's see how
one.
He does this week. Here we go. Here's the first
let's go.
One. For 9 years,
go.
Who played the captain of television's Love Boat? For 9 years, who played the captain of television's Love Boat? Was it Ted Lang, Gavin McLeod, Bernie Coppell, or Fred Grandy?
Bernie Coppell.
You said Bernie?
Yep.
And you... The correct answer is... It is Gavin McLeod.
Okay.
It says, for nine
Let's go.
Unforgettable years, Gavin McLeod charmed audiences around the world as Captain Meryl Streep on the beloved television series, The Love Boat. His portrayal of the affable and dashing cruise ship captain made him an iconic figure in the world of television. Set aboard the luxurious MS Pacific Princess, the series centered around the ship's esteemed Captain Meryl Streep. Excuse me, y'all.
Bless you.
Stewart and his dedicated crew, with each episode featuring a delightful array of guest actors who embarked on a romantic, dramatic, and humorous adventures. Let's go
now
to the
how
next.
How old is Stewart McLeod?
It's Gavin
Alexa,
McLeod.
How old is Stewart McLeod? Alexa, how old is Gavin McLeod?
According to my latest information...
Alexa, stop. Alexa, how
I think
is
he
Gavin
passed
McLeod?
Away.
Gavin McLeod died on May 29, 2021, at the age of 90.
Oh, wow. Rest in peace.
Yeah, he passed away. If you remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show, he was on there.
Okay. Let's go.
Which philosopher first stated... What does not kill me makes me stronger? Was it Socrates? Rene Desecrates. Confucius, Frederick. Oh, this is a German last name. I cannot say the German last name. Nietzsche?
Confucius.
You saying it's Confucius? Okay.
Not Socrates. It wasn't Socrates. I know that.
It was the German philosopher, Frederick. I can't say his last name.
Okay. All right. Bring it.
It said, is fantasy enough for his assertion that what does not kill me makes me stronger? This profound statement found in his book, Twilight of the Idols, reflects Nietzsche's philosophy of personal growth and resilience in the face of adversity, believed that individuals could harness their struggles and challenges as opportunities for self-improvement and development. He argued that enduring hardships rather than weakening us can actually strengthen our character and resolve.
All right.
Okay.
Damn.
So you're 0-2.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Let's go. Bring it.
Okay, here's the third one. Which of these singers was not a member of the Supremes? Diana Ross, Valerie Simpson, Mary Wilson, Florence Ballard. Which of these singers
Valerie
was not
Simpson.
A member of the Supremes? Diana
Valerie
Ross?
Simpson, Valerie Simpson, Valerie Simpson, Valerie Simpson, Valerie Simpson.
And for the bonus answer, what group was Valerie Simpson a part of?
Ashford and Simpson.
Okay, you got your one for two. Here's the next one. The William Tell Overture was the theme song for which television western? The William Tell Overture was the theme song for which television western? Rawhide, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, The Long Ranger.
Gunsmoke.
And the answer is, it's The Long Ranger. I knew that answer, and I didn't even watch The Long Ranger like that, and I knew that answer. It says the William Tell Overture achieved iconic status as a theme song to The Long Ranger. This classical composition, originally composed by Gioachino Rossini for his opera William Tell in the early 19th century, found a surprising but fitting home in the Wild Wild West. Its lively and dramatic melody featuring galloping rhythms and trumpet fanfares adeptly captured the spirit of adventures and heroism that defined the Long Ranger and his trusty companion Tonto. The classical piece helped define the Long Ranger's image as a noble and valiant hero.
All right. Bring it.
So you're 1-3.
Bring it.
Here's the next one. Which of these musical groups does not contain members who are siblings? Which of these musical groups does not contain members who are siblings? The Bee Gees, the Carpenters, the Everly Brothers, the Righteous Brothers.
The Everly Brothers.
I know the answer to this, but I can't say it because I'm not the one to quiz. And you're 1-4.
It was the Righteous Brothers. It was the Righteous Brothers. God damn.
Says, despite their misleading name, the Righteous Brothers were not actually brothers. This iconic musical duo consisted of Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield first joined forces in 1963 while their bond ran deep in the realm of music. Their association was rooted in a close friendship and a shared artistic vision rather than one of familiar ties. Together, they created the timeless classics Unchained Melody and You've Lost That Love and Feeling. In 2016, Medley reformed the Righteous Brothers with Bucky Hearn and continues to perform as a duo. You lost that love and feeling. Oh, love and feeling.
All right, now sing it. You lost that love and feeling. Now
okay, here we go. So your one for, what is that, five here? One for five. Born in Lexington, Kentucky, Mary Todd grew up to marry what U.S. president? Born in Lexington, Kentucky, Mary Todd grew up to marry what U.S. president? Was it John Adams, Harry S. Truman, Abraham Lincoln, or Lyndon B. Johnson?
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Okay. It was Abraham Lincoln.
God damn it.
So yes, one for six now. It says,
ew.
Mary Todd became one of the most iconic first ladies in American history when she married Abraham Lincoln. Born in Lexington, Kentucky, Mary Todd came from a well-to-do Southern family, while Lincoln, on the other hand, hailed from humble beginnings in Illinois. The couple was married on November 4th, 1842, at the Springfield mansion of Mary's sisters. Her wit, intelligence, and strong-willed nature complemented Lincoln's quiet and introspective demeanor. Mary played a pivotal role during one of the most turbulent periods in the nation's history.
So
one for six now. Here we go to the next one.
God damn.
What is the only breed of dog that is unable to bark? Is it a Basenji, Chow Chow, Dachshund, Bichon Frise? What is the only breed of dog that is unable to bark? Is it a Bajinsi, Chow Chow, Dachshund, Bichon Frise? That one, I'm not even sure about this answer. The first one and the last one I've not even heard of. So what's your answer? Six, what's your answer?
Bajinsi.
You going with the first one? And you are correct. So you're two for six. It says the Basenji dog is a unique and fascinating breed known for its distinct trait of not barking. Often referred to as the barkless dog, this ancient African breed communicates through a range of vocalizations except for the typical bark found and most other dog breeds instead. Basenjis produce sound like yodels, howls, and whines. While they may not alert their owners with barks, their keen senses and reserved demeanor make them loyal and observant pets, perfect for those who appreciate a unique and quieter form of canine communication. So you're 2 for 6. Here's the next one.
Was it Magency?
I said you got it right. The first one.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, what show's original theme song was recorded by Bill Haley and his Comets? Was it Happy Days, Moonlighting, Leave It to Beaver, The Wonder Years?
Happy Days.
You sure? You are correct.
It is Monday, happy days. Tuesday,
says
Wednesday,
rock around,
happy days. Thursday,
it
Thursday,
says,
happy
Rock
days.
Around the Clock.
Yeah.
Is a song made famous by Bill Haley and his Comets. Originally recorded in 1954, it is widely regarded as the song that set off the rock and roll craze in the later half of the 50s. Haley and his band re-recorded the song when it was chosen as the opening theme for the beloved television series Happy Days. It wasn't until the show's third season that Rock Around the Clock was replaced by the catchy tune Happy Days, performed by Pat and McLean. The new opening theme soared to number 5 on the Billboard chart, helping to solidify the show's status as a cultural phenomenon. So the first season and the second season, Around the Clock, and then they changed the theme song in the third season. So we didn't get Sunday, Monday, Happy Days, Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. We didn't get that until the third season because it started off, we're going to rock around the clock tonight. We're going to rock through the four-day night. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. What was the song? That's if you know your Happy Days.
Happy Days. I told you it was Happy Days.
No. You got that right. I'm just saying, I'm giving you a trivia question that has to do with the show.
What was the question?
What was the song that Richie played on the jukebox? When him and Mary Beth broke up, what was the song he played on the jukebox?
I don't know that one.
I'm sure you don't remember it? You don't remember, I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. You don't remember him playing that song from the jukebox?
That's Domino.
Right.
I found my thrill.
I don't know if it was the episode that him and Mary Beth broke up or that he, or that's when they got together. I can't remember.
On Blueberry Hill.
Hang on, here's another question. What was the first casino built on the Las Vegas Strip? What was the first casino built on the Las Vegas Strip? Was it Desert Inn, Rancho Vegas, Caesar's Palace, the Golden Nugget. What was the first casino built on the Las Vegas Strip? Was it Desert Inn, El Rancho Vegas, Caesar's Palace, the Golden Nugget?
Caesar Palace.
So, you are three. You're 3-7. It is El Rancho Vegas. It says El Rancho Vegas holds a special place in the history of Las Vegas and the world of gambling. It proudly boasts the distinction of being the first casino to grace the iconic Las Vegas Strip when it opened its doors in 1941. It was marked the beginning of the gaming revolution that would transform this desert oasis into the world gambling capital. El Rancho Vegas set the stage for the glitz and glamour that would later define the Las Vegas Strip, paving the way for a multitude of other iconic resorts and casinos to follow suit. The casino stood for almost 20 years before being destroyed by a fire in 1960. Oh. Wow. Yep. So, you ain't doing too bad this time. So, you know, it's that time to say goodbye to the people. But before we go, we always let you know that we'll be back at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Roll to Start the Radio, the Indie Experience. And at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Six Eyes Radio, we got the Children's Bible Study with Missionary Ken. And then if you want to tune in, the number to that station is 6, give them the number. To the station. Okay, 6 must have stepped away. So, that is at 4 p.m.
Read that
is,
again, please.
The children, number to the station so they could tune into the children's Bible study.
Yes. Yep, Shirts and Bible Study.
What's the number to the station?
515-605-9340.
And at 7 p.m., the Adult Bible Study, and the number to the station is 424-243-9617.
And
90 seconds.
Yes. Are you promoting the Six Eyes Radio Network group page on your page? Are you promoting the Six Eyes Radio Network group page on your page?
No, I am not.
Wow. Okay.
Are you promoting
60 seconds?
The Roll to Stardom Radio group page on your page? No.
Everything you put up.
So we're
hey.
Even. We're even. So
I tell you what, you started off. Thanks.
Just Google Roll to Stardom Radio. Just Google Six Eyes Radio. And if our social medias come up, just follow us on the social media. That's Instagram,
That's X, which is formerly Twitter, Facebook. Just follow us. It's much appreciated.
It
we'll be
like
back
that.
Next Tuesday
work like that. Got
with
it.
Another
it
great show.
Like that. The page doesn't work like that. Join that Success Radio Network.
10 seconds.
Tonight, before you go to bed, join that group. Success Radio Network page, Road to Stardom Facebook group page. Join it tonight before you go to bed. Thanks.
So we're going to say peace, one love. We appreciate you. Bye-bye now.
Good night. Good night. Good night, America.